Before we begin, why are we interested? Well, obviously, consider a service running on the cloud and it serves user requests. So it runs in a large data center with lots of machines, and Google have quite a few of those, and it communicates with other services through RPC. So there's obviously lots of uncertainty caused by the non-local nature of the service. There is network problems, there are machines that are different, et cetera, et cetera. And we want to estimate the impact of user visible latency from a change somewhere deep down the stack. And the dependencies are very complex and non-trivial, and preferably we want to do it without looking at the source code, because looking at source code doesn't scale very well. So how we can possibly do that? So the available instrumentation that we use is end-to-end tracing. So there are plenty of them available. MagPyke and Xtrace are available outside of Google. And Google uses Dapper, which is a proprietary system that records information about all RPCs issued within in Google data centers. So it records 0.1% sample of all requests, and it only records metadata, which means it records timestamps, names of the jobs, IP addresses, all these things. It doesn't actually record the payload. And it also keeps the entire call tree, which means that we can actually follow the request from browser all the way to the low-level API calls. And for more details, I suggest to look up your references. It's open. There's a tech report on that, and you can read more about it. So to give an example, the kind of traces that it gives is, so here's an example of a trace. Well, it's anonymized, sorry. So a user request reaches Google, and then there is a RPC 1, which makes call to RPC 2, 3, 4, and then it keeps going down until it kind of finishes at RPCs 20 through 22. And an age indicates that an age from 1 to 2 indicates that the RPC 2 was called within the context of 1. So that's very simple. The only problem with this call tree is that it actually doesn't encode the parallelism. So if calls 9 and 10 were running in parallel, we cannot see it on this picture. So they could be running sequentially, they could be running in parallel, they could be doing some weird synchronization, and so this information is not encoded. And this is actually, the parallelism is actually very important for us so that we can estimate the impact of a change. So to formally define a problem, so we want to model service latency as a function of its children latency. So for instance, given latencies of calls, say 5, 6, and 7, we want to estimate what the, sorry, 5 and 6, we want to estimate what the latency would be of call 2. And then it can immediately generalize to multiple levels. So if we know the latency of each individual children, then we can actually bubble up our prediction all the way up to the user request. So we can tell how much latency user request will take given the latencies of each individual children. And we can use, and we actually do use it, to detect problems impacting users. So we can hypothesize that the particular service is a problem. So we can take it out, swap in the old known version of it without actually running it on a data center. It's all done locally. And we can see if the problem actually would go away. So if somebody asks you to say, well, okay, so you know latency of individual children's service, how would you predict the latency of a parent? Well, there are a few naive approaches. First, let's just assume everything runs in parallel. Then total latency would obviously be max. So that's something. Similarly, we can also say, well, it's actually all single-threaded, so all services run sequentially. So then the total latency is some. So none of those methods actually work very well. Method three is, well, it's a function, which your parent latency is a function of individual child latencies. So you can just try to fit some regression model. So this method actually works reasonably well, but it's opaque in the sense that it gives you some coefficients which you don't have an explanation for. So what instead we try to do is we actually try to automatically reconstruct the flow of the service. So recall the same picture. And now if you look at the shaded area, so the calls 9 through 17, so the calls there could be sequential or parallel. So an example below recalls one potential instantiation. So there, an age indicates something else. There, an age indicates that, so for instance, age between 14 and 15 indicates that call 15 cannot start until call 14 finishes. And S just indicates synchronization points, that we basically have to wait for calls 9 and 10 to finish before other calls can begin. And if there is no age, it means that they are running in parallel. So, and you could see that this structure is absolutely absent from the call tree structure. So how can we infer that? Well, we actually can by seeing whether RPC calls overlap or not, and then using statistical analysis. So if we observe a particular invocation of a service, if two RPCs are overlapping, then they must be running in parallel, because there is no way they can be sequential and still overlap. So if two RPCs are not overlapping, then, well, they may be sequential. It's an indication that they might be sequential, but they still might be parallel. We didn't observe the right thing. So, and then each potential trace defines a graph approximating the control flow of the execution for that service. So, and if you have many invocations, we can take the intersection of all of them to build a control flow which is consistent with all of them. And you can actually show that this flow exists and you can build it very efficiently. So now the problem is then, well, each service can have multiple flows. You can have a cache hit and cache miss, and they cause completely different parts of your code to execute, and so you do end up issuing different RPCs. So we need to decide if given two invocations follow the same flow or not. So we, in this work, we actually evaluate two different ways. One is that we cluster all invocations that call identical set of child services together and say, well, they all follow the same flow, and we're just going to infer it from that. And another approach is that we cluster together only invocations that have identical control flow graphs. So in the second approach, which actually turns out to be the most accurate, what we also have to do is we have to figure out, when we are doing the estimate, how do we find the appropriate flow. So the overview of the algorithm is very short and simple. So to build models, we build all flows using one of the methods from the previous slide. And to do modeling, so in the modeling, remember, we don't have the actual traces. We only have the latencies. So then for each set of latencies, we find the best matching flow using, again, depending on the method that we use for training. And then we simulate the flow on this new set of latency and give the answer. So now I guess I'm just going to give a bit of experimental results to show how well or how bad this whole thing performs. So. All right, so these are, on x-axis, we have all RPCs which are ordered by the ratio of the estimated latency versus true latency. So remember, we can validate our assumptions because we do have the real traces. It's just when we want to do predictions, we don't have it. But to validate it, we actually can use the true latency. So at the beginning, you see all the RPCs for which we underestimated what the latency would be. So you can see there are some which, we completely missed the shot. And on the far left, well, for you it's going to be right side, it's going to be all the RPCs for which we overestimated latencies. And you can see that serial, which is green, is basically an upper bound of how long your RPC will take. And similarly, the parallel, which is dotted black, is basically the lower bound of how long the RPC will take. And now there are three left. The blue one is the nearest neighbor, which actually seems like it performs the best. Then there is a linear regression somewhere in the middle, and then there is an aggregate flow. So actually, on this graph, it's kind of hard to tell which method is the best. So we did a slightly different graph too. So in this case, we are actually measuring the relative error. Sorry, so it's actually the ratio of estimated and true, and it's always less than one. So, and you can see the nearest neighbor very quickly converges to one, which means that estimate is very good. So the 90% of RPC calls are estimated with very high accuracy, and the bottom 10 are problematic ones that we actually have to take a look at. So that's pretty much it for the 10 minutes I have. So the conclusion is that we provide a foundation upon which we can model service dependencies, and we can diagnose problems caused by structural changes several levels below by bubbling up the predictions. And we actually do use this thing to diagnose problems. So do I have a minute? Or, this is just a related work for those who are interested. So there are plenty of tracing systems. And one work I wanted to mention is the very recent work by Samba Simon et al. From the last NSDI, which diagnoses performance changes by comparing request flows. So their definition of flows is actually very different from ours. But it is similar in the sense that also they detect changes in two different time periods. So they actually use a very simple backup methods service model, and they could use a more fancy one by just so ours provide a better foundation for their work to actually do predictions better. So that's it.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any clarifying questions for the speaker? Maybe if anybody wants to come up while they're doing that, CK, do you want to come get set up? If you're holding your questions for the panel session, we'll thank the speaker one more time.